Welcome to Classics Now, the radio program of the North Coast Great Books Discussion Group. I am Solomon Iverta, as always joined by the mellifluous Mary Harper for yet another selection from the bookshelf of classic literature. What do we have this month, Mary?
We read Aristophanes this month, a play called The Wasps. Aristophanes is the only extant playwright we have from that era. It's called Old Comedy in Greece. I always wonder what it would be like if we had more of those playwrights extant, but Aristophanes is a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Of the 40 plays he wrote, 11 of them still remain. He's called the father of comedy. It really is the first sort of written pieces that we have of what comedy was like way, way back when. And I think we all enjoyed it. It was very funny.
Yeah, I found a lot of things familiar in the comedic role there of Aristophanes.
It's called Old Comedy, and there are certain aspects that make it so. One of the things is, although there's a lot of farcical stuff going on in here, there's a lot of cultural criticism in these. They
sure.
always have a subject that has to do with the society, with something that may be wrong in the society, something they make fun of in the society. Aristophanes in the past had done had really gotten on Cleon, who was sort of the head guy in Athens at the time. They didn't get along very well. He didn't like him, so there was a play about that. Of course, he was alive during the Peloponnesian War, and several of his plays were anti-war. He was very much against that. The most famous of those, probably Lysistrata. This play, it was presented in 422 BC at the Lanaia, which was the winter festival, and it's about the litigiousness of Athenian society. And the main character, who is called Philocleon, which means lover of Cleon, is the father of Bdelicleon, who is the hater of Cleon, and the father is in love with being on a jury. Now, juries back then, you know, it was kind of the first idea that we had of jury by the peers, but I was reading about it, and we don't remember the fact that it was 400 to 500 of them at once in
wow.
a jury, not just 12, what we're used to. There were hundreds, and they cast their lot by putting a pebble in an urn for acquitting or for convicting. And this play opens with a house covered entirely by netting to try and keep the old man from escaping and going out to the jury.
The son's had enough of his father going down
right.
and convicting so many people in the jury.
And he wants to convict everyone. He's like, yeah, I have to convict them. You know?
And the son's had enough. So he puts a net over the house to try to keep his dad from going to the jury.
So the opening scenes are the guy's trying to escape by all kinds of means. He's trying to get out, but out of a wisp of smoke. And then he says, well, I need to sell my donkey. And his son says, all right, I'll sell it for you. Just bring it out here. And so he tries to cling to the underside of the donkey and get out the door.
Oh, yeah.
there's a lot of very funny scenes.
And that's an allusion to Homer, to the Odyssey. So, I mean, it's great.
Yeah. There's a lot of names in here that we wouldn't know. But, you know, we were talking in a book club. You could probably produce this today and just substitute names that we know.
Sure.
And it would work just fine. So then the chorus shows up, and the chorus is made up of other jury members, the older men who have done this, and they're coming by to see if Cleon's coming with them. And when they find him imprisoned like this, they decide to get him out. Well, they're all dressed as wasps. That's where the title comes from. And if you can imagine this, when they find that Philocleon is imprisoned, they turn the little stingers towards the three people who are keeping him in there, and they just sort of start to go at stinging. So, you know, there's a lot of very funny imagery in this.
Yeah, some classic physical comedy, that the father's head popping out of the chimney, and all the kinds of things like that.
Yeah. And eventually what happens is that they decide that they're going to debate it. You know, it's just classic Greek society. If you have a problem, you debate it. So here's a little section where the son is trying to tell the leader of the chorus what's going on. And the leader, he says, are you going to go away and leave me in peace or stand there bickering all day? And the leader says, I'll not leave you while there's a drop of blood left in my body. You're plotting to establish a monarchy. And the son replies, it's monarchy and conspiracy all the time with you people. However trivial the offense, it's always the same charge, monarchism. The word hasn't been heard in Athens for donkey's years, and now suddenly it's common as salted fish. You can't even walk through the market with having it flung at you. You buy a perch instead of sprats, and the man at the sprat stall mutters, "Bloody monarchist." If you ask the sardine man to throw in a couple of spring onions, the woman at the vegetable stall gives you a nasty sidelong look. "Yeah, monarchist, that's what you are," she says. "Do you expect the city to pay you with a tribute of onions?"
Very nice.
So they get into a debate about it. One of the interesting things about this play is that I didn't feel like either side really had a really strong argument. There were, you know, there were parts of both sides,
sure,
that made sense. The idea of trial by jury and participating in a democracy, of course, is a really great thing. But if it's, as the son says, if it's just being, if they're being run like little slaves by all the higher ups, then it's not really working. They're just, mm-hmm, they're just being duped. They're only paid 3 obols a day, which is not really a living wage. And that's another thing the son points out, is that you're doing all this work for virtually nothing, almost nothing. And one of the things they hold over their heads is, if you know, well, if you don't get enough of a fine from this guy, you might not get paid. We might run out of money.
Right.
So anyway, they finally convince him that, you know, maybe he ought to try going with the son. You know, well, the son is part of the newer upper class, and what he's interested in is partying and having these, you know, intense conversations and drinking wine. And so he tries to dress the old man. He's, you know, trying to get him out of his jury clothes and into some decent clothes. And he's like a little kid. He can't hardly even force him into it. They finally go out and have a, you know, party. And it turns out that he does everything to excess. He drinks to excess at the party and then steals a flute girl.
Yes, the father, yes.
Right. And so by the time they come home, he's in trouble with the law and he's going to end up on trial.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah, so we really had a good time with this one. There's a lot of very funny stuff. I mean, it shows up everywhere. It says, "Yes, I know you rule over scores of cities, from the Black Sea to Sardinia, but what do you get out of it, apart from this miserable pittance? Even that they squeeze out like little drops of oil, just enough to keep you alive. They want you to be poor, and I'll tell you why. They're training you to know the hand that feeds you. Then, when the time comes, they can let you loose on some enemy or other and say, 'Go on, good dog, bite him.' That's the way."
Well, speaking of dogs, before we're almost done here, we must mention the trial of the dog,
which happens
earlier in the play. The father, the son, decides to have a trial for the father to judge in his own home, and brings the dog out as a defendant.
Right. One dog has stolen a Sicilian cheese and the other dog didn't get any. So we have this trial of the dogs, and supposedly one dog looks like Cleon and one dog looks like his opposition. So
throughout the play, it was great. You could imagine all of the scenes that were happening and how they would play out on stage. It just very much, you know, it could be done today.
I mean, even though
it was one of the oldest comedies we have.
Yeah, yeah, I really liked it. And I've liked other things that we've read by Aristophanes. One of the things that was interesting is that the tragedians had to pretty much use the stuff in the myths and the old stories. They were bound to use that. They really couldn't invent anything. Aristophanes invents everything. I mean, he is so inventive. He invents characters and situations.
Sure.
And he's really a marvelous read.
Yeah, well, we really enjoyed it. And what are we up for next month, Mary?
Well, it's an interesting one. It's Caesar's The Gallic Wars. If you ever studied Latin, Gallia est divisa in tres partes, it begins.
Yes, very good. We're moving from the Greeks to the Romans as we march through time with the North Coast Great Books Discussion Group. We'll talk about it next month here on Classics Now. Thank you to Lorna Bryant for engineering, and of course, thank you to Mary Harper for joining me, Solomon Iverta. Have a classic day.